Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio, and together partners at Amity Kett.
To talk today about one of Diane's favorite subjects.
Windows.
So I'm going to play a little bit of a role of an interviewer here because I think Diane's really the expert in the room on this. But I think that generally what I think about and I think what homeowners think about with windows is style, what they look like versus maybe how they function, how they're built, what all the particulars to consider. So Diane, can you tell us a little bit about how you choose styles and types of windows for a particular house? What do you recommend and how do you make that kind of a choice?
Yeah, the windows definitely are very relatable to the style of the house. So, you know, whether they're going to have divided light or not, or, you know, just depending on, you know, tending to be more modern or contemporary, it's going to probably not have any divided light. They might be larger windows.
So real quick, before we get too far, we should probably discuss the language a little bit of windows. Can you define for people what divided light means and when we call something a light when we're talking about windows, what that means?
So I would say divided light means when you have the mullions, the vertical and horizontals dividing up the window.
Yes. Well, and lights are the actual panes of
a glass. Yeah. Right.
Perfect.
And, you know, sometimes the cheaper windows will have those in between the glass, which I absolutely hate. And then there's the true divided light, which is kind of in the old time windows where you'll actually see that piece of wood or metal to breaking up each of those pieces of glass.
It goes all the way through. So mm-hmm. like the windows that I have in my studio that are from the 1920s that are wood that go all the way through. So they're separate panes of glass fitted in between the mullions. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm, that's correct. Mm-hmm. And then nowadays, because it costs so much to do that, they have what's called simulated divided light. So it looks like it goes all the way through, but it really doesn't.
And those can be less expensive to manufacture.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's typically what we do.
Yeah. That's usually what you'd see now, right?
Yeah.
All right. Great. So talk to me if I love casement. I love the way casement windows look. So can we talk a little bit about different styles? Casement, those are the ones with the cranks.
Yeah. Casement are the ones with the cranks and they open, you know, on a pivot on the left or right side. So you usually want to think about the breezes or where, what kind of space it might open onto as to which side you would want to have the crank go on or pivot.
And then those were popular, I think, at a certain time period, maybe in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, and they were usually metal, steel. They had all kinds of cool steel hardware with them, but they weren't very energy efficient. But now you can get great energy efficient casement windows.
And then I think casement windows also can open. Can they open up? They pop up or
no,
are that a different type of window?
That's a hopper window.
Oh.
Or an awning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. All right. So what about double hung windows? That's a term people hear that they might not understand. What
yeah,
does that
and
mean?
That's probably what the most common windows would be kind of, you know, mostly here in America. Usually because I don't see them as much when I'm in other countries, but here they're just very popular. And so they open from the bottom up. Or they can open from the top down. So if you just wanted to open at the top and let air flow through, you can do that, or from the bottom up. And then they're easy to screen for bugs. The only thing is sometimes they can be annoying because you have that horizontal piece, and it usually falls right where your line of sight is. So a lot of times people will go with the casement window because we're not having to have that line.
And that's what a casement window doesn't have any kind of a divide in the light. It's
right.
Just a single pane.
And so you can also get single hung, which means they will only open from the bottom up. They don't have the opportunity to open from the top down. And those can be a little less expensive.
Yeah. So I think the important thing for people to know then is, you know, to think about the style of their home and then think about what type of window function and look they want and try to marry those things together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay. And the style. Yeah.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure. Can you talk to us a little bit about the different durability of windows and materials that they're made of?
So there's the wood windows, which you see in all the old homes. And actually, all those wood windows, they can be higher maintenance, but they actually do last a really long time because the wood they're made from is really good. You just have to paint and kind of – or stain and take care of them more, a little more upkeep. You know, they're actually really good windows. And you can still get wood windows today. It's just not as common. I actually did wood windows on my house because I'm just such a purist about the windows. But, you know, they can just take a little more maintenance than if you did a clad window.
So that's if you want a clad window would be something that if you want a wood look, it's – when they say clad, they mean that's what it's clad in, covered in. So there's the material it's made of and then what it's covered with to protect it. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah. Okay. So you'll have the wood on the inside so you can paint it or stain it. But on the outside, it'll be clad and – typically, we do metal, although you can do vinyl as well. And you can also do solid vinyl windows, which are usually the less expensive.
Yeah, those tend to be less expensive. Now, what I have a question about that I genuinely have never asked you this, but I'm curious. You know, usually when I see vinyl windows, they're white. Is it exclusively white that they do vinyl windows out of? Or can you get – I mean, not that – vinyl windows are not maybe my first choice, but I know sometimes that's what is in the budget for people. Is there something besides white that you know of?
I think that you can. Mm-hmm. It's just that we hardly ever specify those.
Yeah.
And typically when we do, people are going with the white because it's a lot of times in like the coastal areas. So vinyl is actually really good for the coastal areas because the salt doesn't break it down like it would the metal.
Ah.
So, and a lot of times in coastal areas, we're usually doing white windows and having all those kinds of colors. And
so it just goes with it. That makes sense.
Appropriateness. Suitability.
Yes. Suitability, exactly. So that's interesting. So one thing that I remember having lots of conversations with you about on projects is when clients want maybe the interior of the window to be wood and either stainable or paintable. And then, yes, like you're saying, maybe the exterior is metal. But how do you make that decision? Is that based on what the interior of the house is going to be like, whether it's stained or painted? Is that a decision that the client makes with the designer or?
Yeah, I think usually with the designer and the architect, we'll talk about what they like. Some people might say, oh, I don't like stained or I've always, you know, liked painted and maybe we want to paint it an off-white or something of that. Now, there are some windows like the vinyl. If you order a vinyl window, you're going to get whatever color that window is on the inside and you can't paint it. Same thing with there's this newer, more recent material, fiberglass or composite windows, and those will be a color on the inside as well. Now, sometimes you can order a different color than the outside. So maybe on the outside it's black. You can order on the inside to be white.
Yes. And that I think is, I think Anderson has, Renewal by Anderson has a brand of, or has a line of windows that you can get. So talk to us about.
Yeah, it's not Renewal, but.
It's not Renewal. Oh, so yeah. tell us about the difference then too between, because this used to confuse me because I worked in renovations so much where we weren't doing new builds, but you choose a different window for a renovation than you do, different type of window than you do for a new build. Is that correct? They're installed differently? There's a flange detail.
Sometimes, but not really. You can usually pick whatever window you want. It's just that if you go with something that's not the exact size, it will take a little more work to put it in.
I see.
But you don't have to go do a remodel, quote unquote, window.
Right. So, like a replacement versus, okay.
And so when you were saying renewal, Anderson has a whole company that's all they do is go replace windows. And that's their whole company. And they are not related to the other Anderson window company. When we go specify Anderson 100s or what those fiberglass composite windows are.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I have Renewal by Anderson. But
yeah, they actually don't even.
Never the twain shall meet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, I mean, Marvin, Pella, a lot of window companies have these composite fiberglass windows. And a lot of times what we end up doing is we will get multiple bids on windows. So we'll go get the metal clad window. Let's say that's what they really think they want and we think is best for the house. But then the cost comes in so high. So then we start and we go get a quote on maybe the composite window and we start comparing and we go to the window store showroom and we look at all what the differences are going to be and make a decision based on that.
So what about the window hardware? Who makes that decision? Is that a combination?
Yeah, so that is so important to make sure that you check on that, because when you get the window order, and I always want to review it, I always tell the builders, send it to me to review as well, which builders usually are always very appreciative because there are so many details in a window order. And so in the very fine print, they will have the hardware finish. And so different window companies and different lines of windows will offer different types of finishes. And so we want to coordinate that with the interior designer, because maybe, you know, the doors are going to be bronze and you think you want the window hardware to be bronze. Or maybe it's going to be a white window and we choose white because it'll just disappear. We're going to have window coverings. And
the trims maybe in the house are going to be painted white.
You just always want to check and make sure on that. Also, if you're ordering any doors through the window company, which oftentimes we do, you want to check those door hardware options because they can be really ugly.
Yeah, they're ugly.
And also some, depending on the line, can also be really nice.
So I do know a little bit about that because I've had the mistake of accidentally getting ugly hardware on a slider window door that came in the window package. And so I believe that I have been guided by you to choose a window package that gives you the option of something decorative or just has more attractive hardware. Is that the case?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you can't really change that. Sometimes windows, like other things in your house, are so much about function. They can't just be about being pretty.
It can void the warranty. So you just have to check on that. It just depends on the door company. There's also, we can get into like locking mechanisms and stuff like that with 3-point hardware on doors. And so then if you do want to go out to the door hardware place and buy a different door handle, you have to make sure it all works with the locking system of that door company that you're getting it from.
So it's pretty complicated.
It's very complicated.
So when you're I'm just fascinated by this because it is something that you have to take into account when I am, for instance, doing a furniture plan for someone. Maybe they've come to me from their architect and they've got their windows drawn in plan. Maybe I haven't seen any elevations, but I have to try to look, or maybe there's just exterior, maybe not interior drawings, and just exterior elevations. I try to piece together what the windowsill heights are, or window stool if we're on the inside, windowsill if we're on the outside. But can you tell me a little bit about how that's noted in the plans and how someone would know? I think, isn't there like a sill heights written in sometimes on the plan so people know?
So, yeah, we don't always have the sill height, but we'll call out the size of the window and then you'll know where the head height is. So if the head height's at 8 and it's a 6-foot window, you know there's a 2-foot sill.
You got to do your math.
Unless sometimes there might be some interior elevations of that area showing that.
So that's just a little aside as the interior designer in the room is thinking about, you know, a lot of times people will think they don't want to cover their windows with furniture, but sometimes the sills are at a height where it doesn't matter and you can put something in front of them. So tell me about that process then. So if you're working with a builder and they're placing the order for the windows, it goes to you before they sign
off? I will say what windows we want, and sometimes we might want a certain company window, and I'll specify that in the drawings, and then the builder will get the window order and send it to me to review. Or I might say we want a metal clad wood window, and I won't specify the actual manufacturer. Well, they may go get like 3 different bids, and then me and the clients will look at that based on the cost. And again, we might be visiting the showrooms and looking at the differences between all of the different lines of windows. And people can get really, you know, very caught up in exactly, not caught up, but really care about what that window really looks like, just like I do.
Yeah.
So even if they're a mitered corner or how thick the window is. And so I will say with the metal clad wood, you can get really thin divided lights. And that's another thing to look for on the window order is we specify how wide that can be. It can vary from 5/8 to 2 inches. And that is something you have to look in the very fine print as well to make sure you capture what size that is.
So there's a lot to know around windows.
Yeah. Also stops and what hardware finish those are, because you can see them inside the windows. So you have to look at that as well.
It seems like something people could really obsess about. So
it takes us about 4 hours to review a window order.
So tell me what happens when that goes wrong. I like the stories where something goes wrong. Can you tell us some examples of that?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have a horrible one.
Let's hear it.
So this builder that I have always been working with ordered windows on a house, and I had asked him, I said, hey, I haven't seen the window order. When are we going to look at that? And he said, oh, I already ordered them.
Dun, dun, dun.
I think I dropped the phone. So I said, what did you get? And he had ordered all white windows, and we had wanted black.
Ouch.
So we had to completely change the whole interior design scheme.
Yeah, that's sad. You just made a very sad face. I know people can't see your face, mm-hmm. but...
It was not good.
Yeah, that's hard to take. I will say just on my own last project where I was choosing windows, there was a cost factor for me. I had to think about what I wanted the interior to look like, and I ended up choosing a bronze metal window. I think they were Marvin windows, and it was less expensive if it was metal on the outside and metal on the inside versus wood clad. And that it does have a huge, huge effect on how you finish out the room. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds like I'm being extra, as the kids say today, but it's true. It affects all of the decisions about light fixtures on the interior and door hardware on the interior, because you want those things to relate to something. And the window is kind of a prominent thing in mm-hmm. the room if that's the decision you go
yeah.
with.
And also when we review it, even though maybe the builder reviewed it, we'll find that they're missing a window in the order, or they didn't catch that some of the windows in the bathrooms needed to have tempered glass, or a window that's close enough to a door. There's certain code requirements if it has to be tempered. So we're looking at all that as well when we review the window order, because I've also had it happen where that wasn't caught, and on site, the inspector comes. You know, people are wanting to move in, and the inspector comes in, the final building inspector says, oh, this window isn't tempered. We got to order the window, which takes 6 weeks sometimes, 8 weeks in this day, 2 to 3 months sometimes. And you're waiting for that window to come in.
You can't move in because you can't get your certificate yeah. of occupancy mm-hmm. without them.
Now, sometimes we might get a grace from the inspector. It depends on how nice they are. But,
Yeah. So that's interesting. So another thing, I know we have an interview coming up with a window treatment expert to talk about the relationship of window treatments to their windows and as that relates to the interior. So what are some things that might factor in to making those decisions when you're choosing windows?
I mean, some of it, I don't know necessarily when you're choosing windows, but definitely how we place the windows. And also if we want to have motorized shades, making sure we get electrical voltage, low voltage in there for it. You know, if it's a more contemporary house and we have big panes of glass and big windows, we want to think about, I always ask the client pretty early on, are you going to want to have window coverings on this? Because we need to think about that and what you might want to have.
Yeah, I would think sort of size of windows, like you say, too, mm-hmm. and where they're set. So if you maybe want curtains or drapes on that window, right. you're going to need stacking space to the left and right of that window, or at least on one side, or mm-hmm. how much of that window are you going to want to block or not block? So all of those things come into play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As well. All right. So what about style trends? I mean, do you have a particular thing that you like? I know I see a lot of, I guess that'd be large casement windows. But also I see a lot of steel windows, at least on aspirational pictures of homes.
Yeah, everyone loves the steel windows. I love them too. They're gorgeous. They cost a lot. Right. I mean, I have people that say, I want the whole house done in that. And I say, okay. The last time I bid it was, I think, 5 or 6 years ago, and it came in at $200,000 for all the windows and
just
doors.
For the windows.
So I would say probably now it's up to about $300,000 probably. Like a steel, a lot of times we'll do just the steel front door, and that usually can range from $5,000 to $15,000 depending on how big the door is, if it's a pivot door, if it's two doors, single door.
So would you marry that steel front door or maybe some front windows with just a black window in other places?
Yes,
to make
and
mimic?
We've done that very successfully. So we'll get, you know, I would do a metal clad window in that point. You know, if you want to make sure you want to get that look of the steel, because you'll get, again, those thin divided lights. And also the metal clad windows are on the sides smaller as well, whereas vinyl is wider. So the sides might be an inch wide, give or take, whereas the vinyl's more like 2 inches or 2.5, 3 inches. So you get less glass.
I find architects to be obsessed with the amount of glass, which I see that you are as well, and making sure that you have enough. But it is true that once you know these things, once you know it, it's hard to unsee it when you're driving down the street and you're looking at houses and you see maybe the clunkier, wider windows. And sometimes it's appropriate. Maybe it's an older house and it's a sweeter sort of a cottage look or something. And then those wider windows, maybe even a vinyl, looks good. But when you start having, or at least I notice when I see a house, maybe I can see they're about to replace their windows. They've got a replacement company. And I just say a little prayer that they've made a good choice when I drive by, because what you don't want is a house that maybe is a beautiful sort of dark brick or a dark material. And then they've gone for a window package that stands out too much. It's not about whether it's good, bad, or otherwise. It's just a matter of making sure that the windows kind of fit in with the style of the house.
Yeah, I feel like they just don't know or aren't guided correctly. I had a builder show me a house he was working on recently in a pretty good size addition. And I said, God, what are those windows? He said, yeah, we were matching their replacement cheap windows they'd done in the rest of the house. And they just didn't want to replace all those again.
Yeah.
He said it was the cheapest window package he's ever installed. And he said the framers also were complaining about them because they were so not well made.
Well, I think it's a matter of just knowing what you're getting and mm-hmm. having a discussion. Maybe there are people who won't care about that as much. But I know you, when you did your designed and built your own house, you sort of scrimped and saved to make sure you were able to get the windows that you wanted.
I spent a lot of money on my windows and mm-hmm. scrimped and saved in other areas to make that happen, because it makes me happy.
But everybody has their thing, right? But I do think mm-hmm. windows are not something ideally you're going to do again.
Right. And something that I am always just, you know, my jaw drops driving into some of the gated communities with these really expensive 6,000 square foot houses that are just done by builders and they don't have an architect. And they have these cheap windows. And I can tell immediately, it's just so disheartening, because the rest of it looks pretty good. You know, the masonry and the stucco. And then they have these junk windows. And it's because they save so much money by not going with a nicer window.
Yeah, and you just have to take those right back out and replace them with something decent.
That's what I would do.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I mean. It's hard to unsee it. Once you know what you're looking at. I mean, I can tell you by house in my neighborhood which houses have redone their windows. And honestly, I would almost rather see the original aluminum windows than some of the newer windows if they're not right. I sometimes want to just go around and write little love notes to people about their windows and put it in their mailboxes and say, call me before you choose your window, or call Diane.
Yeah, right.
Making the world more beautiful one house at a time.
Right. So. Another thing actually also with windows is the what we call U-value, which has to do with the heat gain, solar transmission. There's a lot of ratings on the windows, so you know how well they're going to be. Like I was saying, those casement windows from the 1920s that were metal were, you know, so not efficient, and condensation inside, if you sat by the window, you get cold, that kind of thing. So now windows are created so much better for helping with insulation. And so we have to look at the U values of the windows. Typically in the colder climates, it's 0.35, and in the warmer climates, it's 0.75. And so you just, you know, want to make sure you get that. There's also something called the Energy Star label, which sometimes you'll see when you're driving by a house being built, you'll see the Energy Star label. It's like blue with white lettering on the window. And that's showing that it's a really high energy efficient window. And they're usually 15 to even 40% more efficient than a typical window.
Interesting.
And different cities have different codes as to what you have to meet. Like the city of Austin is extremely high. Everyone always says, I really want really high efficient windows. And I said, well, the city of Austin makes you do it anyway. So there's also low E coatings, which help stop heat loss and heat gain. And it's usually about a 15% increase in cost for your window, but it also really helps with that. And again, the city of Austin makes you.
And I think that matters a lot in places like that get really cold or really hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's the low. You don't even really see the coating. It's pretty, you know, pretty easy to add. And
yeah. And then I know once you have those windows in, there are some window treatments, too, that can help affect heat and cold and that
right.
kind of thing. But we've all been in houses that feel like you're inside a colander. You can almost feel a breeze at the window.
Mm-hmm.
So they're charming windows, but they maybe don't function as well. So, all right. So what about do you have any favorites, any favorite type of windows or any favorite type of window brands that you tend to go to? I know people would want to know that if you had something or maybe not.
You know, it kind of varies. You know, windows are constantly evolving and, you know, there's a lot of good window companies out there. So I don't know they necessarily have a favorite one, but sometimes, you know, the Anderson 100 series has been really great for kind of houses that were wanting to be a little more contemporary and the cost savings is really good. There's also the Marvin Integrity, which I believe is now called Marvin Infinity Line, which is another similar composite window. So I don't know. There's a lot of different window companies that they're all pretty good. It's mostly we're looking at the cost and just making sure you get a good window. And then the owners going to the store and looking at them and making sure they like them.
Yeah, you got to check out the showroom. So tell me a little bit about this Western Window company. Western Windows, they're called, right?
Oh, yeah, because we didn't really – we did talk about the steel windows, yeah, but there are metal doors and windows. And so Western is a really good one. There's also Ram, and there's a number of different companies, Fleetwood also. Mm-hmm. So what's great about those, we use them a lot in the contemporary design styles, and you can get really big expanses of glass with those, and they're really beautiful. They definitely
function really well.
Yeah. So like Western is pretty well known for their really big sliding doors. And it's like a hot knife through butter when you push this 15 foot tall, 30 foot long sliding door. It's just
awesome. Amazing.
Yeah.
Open it up out.
Now it is challenging to install. You have to have special installers for that. But yeah.
And sometimes you have to have the Western windows slide into the wall? They slide all the way through into the wall and you have to build out the wall to receive them, or do they stack on each other? Or
yeah, you can do either of those. Mm-hmm. So you can do the pocket, and you definitely need – then usually the wall has to be pretty thick. Depending on how many panels you have sliding on top of each other will determine how thick it is. And then if you want it to pocket into a wall, so just depending on the length that you have. So they definitely could run as much as 12 to 18 inches thick. Or you can stack them. And then it's not pocketing into a wall, so you might not have to have as thick a wall.
So another thing I want to bring up, because when I had my mid-century house, late mid-century, I guess I'd say, ranch-style house renovated, some of the windows were high up on the wall, and they were small sliders. They slid, whatever those are called, where they slide one way or the other. And I had to change those for code reasons for egress, so that in case there's a fire, someone can get out.
Mm-hmm.
Are there different rules in different areas for that?
Yes. Sometimes there's local codes that might, you know, require something, but there's the International Residential Building Code that typically most cities have adopted. And so you have to have a certain square footage. Basically, you want a window that is 3 foot by 5 foot if it's a double hung in order to meet that egress requirement. I can't remember exactly what the number is. It's 2 point something.
And I remember something about sill height or stool height having to
be low
enough
and then
somebody could climb out.
Right. And so, like you said, a lot of those ranch houses in the bedrooms had, and they're usually right at about 44 inches, and you need them at about 40 inches.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
Yeah, it's just this small difference, and you have to get new windows.
Yeah, and I think for us, it was we were getting a permit, because we were doing things legally and by the book, and so we needed to get a permit. So we had an inspector coming through, so we ended up having to change windows. We had no – or change size of windows and do exterior work on the stone to make those larger windows fit, which drove the cost up a little bit, but obviously makes us safer. So one thing, too, that I always – wonder about and feel, I know I've seen you use a lot in design, is those clear story windows or clerestory windows.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to me a little bit about how those help you out as an architect to bring in light.
And... Oh, yeah. I love clerestory windows. So a lot of times if we have a tall space that's 12, 14 feet tall, we'll put clerestory windows in. And it just brings in such a great quality of natural light.
And those can be different. Those don't open. They're just
They're all
a
fixed.
Small window that runs along the top. You just have to have a header height drop down from the when they get built in. And then you can kind of just keep them
They could be rectangular, or sometimes we've done them where they follow the line of the roof or the gable. So this house that we did in Charleston, we had a really big porch off of the main living room, and then the kitchen was off of that. And we wanted to make sure we got natural light into that space. So we had three sets of doors that went out to the porch. Well, we worked really hard to get these windows, clerestory, up above that porch roof, lining up above the double doors, so we could still get lots of nice quality natural light coming in, and it really made a difference.
Well, that's nice in a southern home too, because you like those porches and you like that covered area.
Yeah, and you'll like this too, because we paneled the walls.
Ooh,
and
I
so
love that.
We also had to really work out all the paneling details to make sure the size windows fit. I mean, it was
lined up.
A lot of thinking.
Beautiful. Yeah, that house is gorgeous. Yeah, to me, I like those clerestory. I don't know. Everybody says it differently, but clerestory windows for the ability to hang art in the room below and not have the windows take up the whole wall. I mean, I love windows, and I also love art, and I also love furniture. And so having those things work nicely together and well thought out early on helps us, because a lot of times I'll go, you know, walking into a new client meeting and they've got a house they've already built, and maybe there wasn't an architect or maybe there was, and the client never told the architect or the builder that they had an art collection and they wanted to be able to hang art, or, you know, they'll find themselves a little frustrated that they find no opportunities. They wanted the windows, but they find no opportunity to hang art. And so I think planning that in advance is good.
Yeah. I mean, it's also good if you had a view that's not so great. You can just have the clerestory windows, and then you have a solid wall. So you're not looking at anything other than the sky or the trees. And then you have a great wall for maybe that's where you put the TV or some art or furniture. Definitely.
And then one other thing, are skylights something that's included in window packages, or are those a whole different thing?
Usually it's a different company that does just skylights. We typically don't do them too much. They don't seem to be as popular, but sometimes we have done them if it seems like it's a darker space inside and we don't have the opportunity to do the clerestory windows, we'll do the skylights.
Great. Well, I know skylights sometimes frustrate interior designers too because of where you put light fixtures and things.
Like, we'll put them in the center of the kitchen, and then you can't at night. It's dark and you can't.
Yeah, you can't put pendants there.
Yeah.
So I think the real takeaway here is for windows is that you want to plan early and think about the materials, the function, consider the style if it goes with the house. You want to look at different types and do your homework. You want to consider the hardware. You want to consider the interior finish out and what that's going to be and whether it matches or is disjointed from the window on purpose. You want to think about egress and codes and kind of light. And then, you know, we're going to have a podcast where we talk about window treatments, but you want to think about that early too and plan that when you're designing the windows so that you aren't left with maybe there's a street light right outside the window and you didn't think about that or see that in advance and you want to be able to block some light.
So. Mm-hmm. Right.
And one last thing is make sure that your architect takes a look at your window treatment, your window order.
Yes, definitely.
Too many things to get wrong there.
Too many. And it usually takes about 3 times of going through it to make sure it's totally right. I mean, we'll mark it up, we send it back, they send us the new one. There's still 1 or 2 things not caught or changed wrong again. And so
it's a process.
Yeah, we definitely takes a couple of times.
Great. Well, thanks, Diane.
All right.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio, and together, partners at Amity Kett.